Good evening. Greetings to each of you from Waynesboro, City Lake Christian Fellowship. As David mentioned, I'm his cousin. My wife is also his sister to Jessica Weber, so we have a few connections here. I'm very glad to be here this evening. I always have this aspiration that I want to get out and about and visit more churches in the area, and it just doesn't happen unless someone makes it happen. So I guess David made it happen. It's always hard to miss functions at my own church, and schedules get busy, and I'm sure you know all the list of excuses, but I do think that it's important for churches to fellowship with each other and worship together, so I'm happy for an opportunity to do that. The thought that I have on my mind this evening is in relation to hearing the voice of God. So there's a couple different directions you could go with this. The Bible says a lot about testing the spirits and using discernment, and I would think of that more as sort of filtering inputs and external influences, judging whether they're good or bad. But the subject that I have on my mind this evening is more about seeking God's direction and guidance and sort of analyzing my own internal thoughts and filtering through what all is going on there. When is it God's voice speaking versus my own voice? Here's a little excerpt that I think kind of, this is what someone else wrote from an article I read that sort of explains a little bit what I have on my mind. It says, life is full of decisions that do not have absolute, specific by name, how-to directions in the Bible. Which house should I live in? What make of car should I buy? Should I get my children a pet? How many hours a day should my children spend on screens? What should I do for work? We all have notions about the truth, but how do we know for sure that these ideas are coming from God? Am I hearing God, or am I only hearing myself? Worse yet, am I hearing the temptation of Satan disguised as the leading of the Holy Spirit? Sometimes, distinguishing our own ideas from God's leading is difficult. And what if our urges are actually coming from the enemy of our souls and not from God? How do we take every thought captive, as it says in 2 Corinthians, when we aren't sure where the thoughts are coming from? So that's a question that I often face in life. I'm not sure if any of you bump into that or not, but maybe you have a big decision to make or a problem to solve, and you want God's leading, you want his direction. You have all kinds of thoughts and options and ideas going through your head, and it can just be hard to filter through them and know what's what and what is coming from where. So, like I said, I'm planning to focus more on that angle of it than this idea of sort of testing the spirits and filtering the world around us. But just a very quick summary of the concept of testing spirits. John says in 1 John 4, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. The idea of testing spirits is very common in the New Testament. Jesus, John, Peter, Paul, and Jude all give repeated and strongly worded warnings against being deceived. There's a few noteworthy characteristics of false spirits. One is they will not always look bad. They may talk about God. The Bible says that the devils believe and tremble. They can be right among the believers, but the scripture teaches that we will know them by their fruit. So that's the number one thing that Jesus teaches for how we know what a false spirit is. We will know them by their fruit. So that's just sort of a quick little summary of testing the spirits. But I want to think a little more about kind of hearing the voice of God and finding the voice of God. So we have this sort of three options where our thoughts can come from. They can come from myself. I believe that we as creative human beings have the ability to produce our own thoughts and ideas. They can come from God, or they can come from Satan. And the big question is, where are my thoughts coming from? So this is kind of an age-old question. I think we see numerous examples in the scripture of people having the same question. Probably one of the most fascinating ones to me is Gideon. So Gideon, in Judges 6, was lamenting the fact that they were being oppressed by the Midianites. And this is what he said. Gideon said, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." So that just gives a little bit of context for what's going on here. And I think it's very similar to what happens today. We run into problems and troubles and things don't go like we planned. And suddenly we're wondering where God is. We're wondering where his voice is and where his guidance is. So that was what Gideon said to the Lord. And then a little later in the chapter, it says that an angel of the Lord appeared to him and sat down under a tree and started talking to him. So Gideon had this sort of direct communication from God. And you would think that would satisfy his question or kind of answer his question. But after the angel of the Lord told him what he had to say, Gideon said to him, "If now I found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you," and that's a capital Y on that "you," "that it is you who talk with me." So even after this angel of the Lord came, he still said, "I need a sign that you're even from the Lord." So he went and made a meal for this angel. He baked a cake and he got some meat and he brought it. And the angel told him to lay it on a rock. And kind of cutting a few details out, the angel touched the rock with his rod and burned up. The fire came out of the rock and burned up the food. And it was a very miraculous thing. And then Gideon said, "Now I know that you are from the Lord," and seemed satisfied with that. But before Gideon was willing to act on what God told him to do, he asked for a sign three more times. It was that same story where he laid a fleece out to test, "Lord, is this really what you want me to do?" And he laid a fleece out multiple times. So I'm just simply making the point that this whole question of is it God speaking or is it something else is an age-old question. In Psalms 94:19, it says, "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, your comforts delight my soul." So the psalmist in Psalm 94 was dealing with this thing that we have this multitude of thoughts in us and we have to sort through them. Reading another excerpt that I appreciate, it says, "Each of us harbors thoughts and plans in our mind, some good, some bad, and some neutral. So how do you know if those thoughts come from God, the devil, or if they are just from you? God has created us to think, to plan, to dream, and to imagine. We have a multitude of thoughts within us each and every day, and most of what goes on in your head is just you." I think it's an important thing to note. "It is simply inconsistent with God's word to attribute every thought that goes through your mind to God or to the devil." You do not want to be one of those people saying, "Well, I was going to go to Trader Joe's market, but the Lord said no. Go to Sprouts market, and I was going to get some corn tortillas, but the Lord said no. Get flour. Then I was about to buy butterleaf lettuce, but the Lord said no. Get romaine lettuce. This might surprise you, but when my wife and I need to go to the market, we just go. We do not have a prayer meeting. I make up my own grocery list. No divine revelations, no prophecies, no word of knowledge. It is important to understand that most of the thoughts that go on in our head just come from us. Having said that, we must remember that we are spiritual beings living in these physical bodies, and the heart and the mind of every person has been created to seek after and to yearn for inspiration, which will come from either God or the devil." So I don't know how that lands on you in your worldview, but when I read that, I appreciated what I had to say. I think it's important to remember that some of our thoughts just do come from ourselves. I'm going to talk about it a little later, but I think it's a mistake to try to assign everything to either God or Satan. But even though a lot of our thoughts, the majority of our thoughts, just come from our own minds, we are spiritual beings, and we do have this desire for inspiration outside of ourselves. And as it says here, that will come from either God or the devil. So I want to kind of compare and contrast the two to help us think a little bit about what the difference between the two is. So first of all, looking at thoughts from God. The first thing about thoughts from God is they will always align with Scripture. We refer to this as God's word. So if a thought is from God, it will align with Scripture. I'm going to have to abbreviate a bit here just to get up here, but I'm going to say it equals Scripture, meaning it's aligned with it. The other thing is that God's thoughts will always bring righteousness, peace, love, and joy. And if you think of God's thoughts being righteous, that also means that they're just and right. They're correct. So just a few keywords: righteousness. Sorry, getting my letters messed up. Peace. Love and joy. God's thoughts will also bring clarity. It says in 1 Corinthians that God is not the author of confusion, but the author of peace. So thoughts from God will bring clarity and rest. They won't bring confusion. It says in other places in Scripture that the devil is sowing discord and brings confusion. So God's thoughts bring clarity. They will also lead us to good and away from sin. God will never give us directions or give us leadings that lead us into sin or lead us away from him. It will lead us to God. It will lead us to the things that are good and right. So I'm just going to say it leads to good. And then last but certainly not least is Jesus will be central, or Jesus will be elevated. If a thought is from God, especially think about like kind of being in a troubling time of life or a time where we need guidance, Jesus will always be central to it. It will not detract from or compete with Jesus. Because Jesus, it says in Scripture, I'm going to read a verse a little later, that says how Jesus is God's revelation to us. It was God revealed himself to us through Jesus. So I'm just going to write Jesus here. So now I want to think a little bit about what goes in the column under Satan. It's pretty much just a lot of opposites of that. So thoughts from Satan will twist or contradict God's word. They will not equal it. It doesn't mean that God's word will be absent. The devil can and does use and twist God's word sometimes, but it's going to be a twisted, contradictory application of it. So Satan's thoughts do not equal Scripture. They will bring shame, condemnation, and worthlessness. I'm going to write shame and condemnation. And actually, that reminds me, I forgot to put one over here, and that was conviction. I'm going to add that to the bottom. So God's thoughts can and do bring conviction, but the devil's thoughts bring shame and condemnation. It can be a little bit tricky to know the difference between these two, but there is a difference. Conviction has this idea of being constructive and redemptive. It's sort of like a loving parent punishing a child, or just our conscience working, whereas the devil, the thoughts from him are just condemning and shameful and make you feel worthless and hopeless, like there's no path back, no way to make it right. You're a hopeless person. The devil brings confusion. It says in Scripture that he is here to destroy, kill, and steal. And it also leads to sin, which is kind of the same way of saying it leads away from God. The two are kind of go hand in hand. Leads to sin. And I'm going to also say that it makes God small. When the thoughts are from God, we will realize how sufficient God is, and we'll realize who God is and how great he is. The thoughts from the devil will make God small, will make our problems seem bigger than God is, or whatever it is that we're seeking an answer for. Thoughts from the devil will appeal to our weaknesses rather than spiritual growth, self-righteousness, and I'm going to just, I guess, put that one on the board again. So I'm kind of contrasting the self-righteous part to contrasting that to focusing on Jesus. Thoughts from God are going to elevate Jesus. Thoughts from the devil are going to focus on ourself and kind of our problems and whatever. You can focus on yourself in a whole bunch of different ways from a whole bunch of different angles. So that's sort of two lists that I have, comparing and contrasting thoughts from God versus thoughts from Satan. One side note that I don't really have an answer to, and if any of you have input you want to give me afterwards, feel free to do this, but I was asking myself, how much is Satan able to influence the thoughts of a believer? So I certainly know that we can be tempted by Satan. You can pass a billboard or an ad can pop up online or whatever. Anything can happen. That these temptations come at us. But if I'm just laying on my bed at night thinking my thoughts, can the devil actually put thoughts in my mind as a believer? I don't have a hard and fast answer to that. I believe that the devil can certainly influence people's thoughts, but I don't know how that works in the life of a believer. So if any of you have thoughts you want to add to that, feel free to contribute that. But that's a question I haven't concluded an answer to yet. So the next thing that I want to focus on is the myself column. So like I said, we can have thoughts from God or Satan or myself. And most of what I'm talking about this evening is actually talking about discerning between my own thoughts and God's thoughts. Because I think that while it can be tricky and while it takes some discernment, I think a lot of times the line between the good and bad is clearer to us than the line between ourself and God. How do we know if it's God speaking? So I don't really have anything to write on the list on the board under my thoughts. I just have some kind of rambling thoughts about my thoughts. So first of all, as I said, I believe that we are capable of having our own thoughts. And I think that's an important thing to note because I've met people in life who use this idea of thoughts coming from God or Satan to just kind of escape responsibility for everything. You can essentially blame someone else for every decision you ever make wrong or anything that doesn't go the way you want. But we all have our own experiences, our own reasoning, and our own emotions. And out of that, we have thoughts. God made us in his image. He is a creative God, and he made us as creative beings. Once again, reading a little snippet that I appreciated. People often want to hear a specific word from God when he's already spoken in a general sense. For instance, a person may be deliberating the choice of whether to take the family on a short-term mission trip or on a vacation to the beach. Perhaps a specific word from God is unnecessary. What is really called for is wisdom. Which trip will most benefit the family? Which trip will most benefit the kingdom of God? The family will benefit by building the kingdom of The kingdom will benefit from a strong family. Either one could be a good choice. Other factors, such as expense and the current state of the family, should be considered. Are the children selfish and entitled, so they need to see how other people live? Has the family been under a lot of stress and needs to get away and relax? Are the costs comparable? If not, which can they afford? If they go to the beach, look for opportunities to share their faith and be an encouragement to other believers. If they go on the mission trip, they look for ways to build bonds with each other and enjoy themselves as a family. Both options are good. Neither is inherently sinful. In the end, the husband and wife come to some agreement and throw themselves into it wholeheartedly, trusting that if the decision is wrong, God will somehow make it clear to them that they should do something different. How will he do this? Probably not through an audible voice, but through a combination of circumstances, advice from other people, evaluation of their priorities based on God's word, and a lack of inner peace from the Holy Spirit. So, the point that's being made there is that God expects us, in some scenarios, to use the minds that he gave us to make a decision using the information that we have. God doesn't always give us an answer to every decision that we have in life, but he does expect us to apply the principles that he has given us and think through it. We should make plans but hold them loosely, being willing to let God direct us if he has something different in mind. Proceed in faith with an open mind, saying, if the Lord wills, I will do this or that. And the other thing that I would highlight here is this whole idea of wisdom. There's a lot of things in life that there isn't a clear right or wrong to. There might be two good options, and in that case, it takes wisdom. And God says if we ask for wisdom, he will give it to us. It says in 2 Corinthians, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So thinking about this my thoughts column, our goal should be that the thoughts that we do have should be subject to God, it should be in accordance with the knowledge of God, and we should bring them in captivity to the obedience of Christ. So we are expected to use our own reasoning, our own mind, but God wants us to do that in obedience to him. So thinking a little bit more about God's voice, where does God's voice come from? So if I'm asking God for direction or guidance, where should I expect to hear from him? I think it can come from multiple places, but I'm going to start with an easy one. And that is that God speaks through his word. God speaks through his word, which is the scripture. And that we believe that that is God's revelation to us as humans. And once again, reading another snippet, most people want to hear God's voice when they're facing a decision. If only God would speak to them and tell them which choice to make or which direction to embark upon. Many people have claimed to have heard God's voice saying, God led me to do this, when in fact it was simply their own thoughts and desires that led them in a particular direction. The primary way that God speaks to us today is through his revealed written word. When we want to hear God's voice, the Bible is where we should look. Most of the will of God for our lives is already fully revealed in its pages, and it is simply a matter of our obedience to it. So notice it says most of the will of God. I do think that God does speak to us as individuals, and I do think that sometimes God does give people personal, individual callings, and we should always be attuned to that and aware of that and willing to follow where God leads us. But most of God's will for our lives is revealed in the scripture, and it's just a simple matter of obedience to it. Listen to what it says in 2 Timothy. It says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. And listen to this list of what it says about the Holy Scriptures. They're able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. I especially like that last part. That it says, we're given the word of God so we are thoroughly equipped for every good work. So if I'm just out buying a house or buying a car or some other big life decision, I might think to myself that, you know, maybe God won't give me specific direction on that because it's sort of an earthly thing. But if I'm heading out to do God's work, then maybe if I'm kind of doing mission work or something, then maybe God will just give me this clear, audible direction on what I should do. But it says here that the word of God thoroughly equips us for every good work. So even in that scenario, the scripture that we're given is often the way God speaks to us. In Romans 10:17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Psalms, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the word of God is powerful, and it can help us sort through what is our thoughts and what is God's thoughts. So if we want to hear the voice of God, I think that's a good desire to have. We should all want to follow God. We should all want to heed his leading and hear what he's telling us. But if you are asking God to lead you and God to answer questions in your life, you have to start with scripture. Because if you ignore your Bible, if you don't take time to read the scripture, don't even know what it says, and then yet you're crying out to God for direction, that's a bit of a contradictory situation to be in. It's an unrealistic expectation if you aren't even using what God has given you to expect him to somehow speak to you further. So the next way, if we want to hear the voice of God, I think the next place that we can hear from is the Holy Spirit. Jesus says in John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So Jesus gave us this promise of the Holy Spirit, and I believe that the Holy Spirit can and does speak to us and does guide us, and we should be open to that. I've heard some amazing stories of how the Spirit has worked in people's lives. But I would also notate here that it says, Jesus says the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance all the things that he said to you. And I know in my own life, a lot of times, I think the prompting of the Spirit is through kind of bringing scripture to my remembrance, bringing things to my mind when I need it and where I need it. So once again, we have to have a firm grasp on the word of God for the Spirit to even, to really allow the Spirit to work in our life, because I think a lot of the work that the Spirit does is applying and opening the scripture, opening our eyes to it. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So I think the Spirit does play a very important role in connecting us with the voice of God. But when the Spirit leads, I don't think that he is often imparting new information as much as he is just impressing on our hearts the truth that God has already revealed in Scripture and applying it to our situation. If a person says, God told me, or the Spirit led me to do such and such, and the action taken is contrary to Scripture, we can be sure that the person is not correct. The Spirit will not tell people to do things that are contrary to Scripture. I think another important aspect of hearing God's voice, if we want to hear his leading, is through prayer. There's a lot of verses that could be read on that. I just have one that I want to read from James. In James 1, verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. I often think of that verse when I'm making big decisions. It says that if we lack wisdom, to ask God and he will give it liberally. But once again, I think that God does give us wisdom, but I think it will be in the context of his word. And also, if God gives us wisdom, it still implies that we have some thinking to do. God might still expect us to work through things. And I'll also note here that it says, when you fall into trials, take it joyfully, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Sometimes it's tempting to think that if you could find this magic code to always having God direct every little decision you made, you would never run into any problems in life. But that's just not how it works. Even if you're following God, even if you're seeking his voice and wanting to obey what he says, we do face testing and we do face trials. And that's just part of the experience that God has given us. I think the other way that God speaks to us is through our conscience. In Hebrews 3, verse 7, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness. So, if you want to hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. We need to We need to be soft and attuned to hear the voice of God. If we harden our conscience or don't listen to that inner voice in us, we won't be hearing God's voice. I also believe that God speaks through circumstances. Talks about that a number of times in Scripture. When Paul is going on his missionary journeys, he talks about how the doors were open or closed. Says in Corinthians, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord. Circumstances, I think, can also include the voice of others. Sometimes you might have an idea that you think is a good idea, and your brothers in church just aren't too excited about it. They don't really support it. And if that happens to you, I think you should pay attention to that. I think that can be God's way of speaking to us when other believers don't agree with whatever it is that we're concluding. It says in Isaiah, though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, so even if you run into problems, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or whenever you turn to the left. So even in the context of affliction and bad circumstances, adversity, as it says, we should still be ready to hear God's voice and doing what he directs us to do. I want to think a little bit about recognizing God's voice. That's a couple different ways that I believe we can hear God's voice. And one thing I don't have on my list that I think we should be open to, I think sometimes God does and can still just speak to people, whether it's an audible voice in someone's head or however that may be. But I don't think we should expect that as the just sort of the normal mode of operation of life. You shouldn't expect that every day when you wake up, God is just going to audibly make all your little decisions for you, because God did give you a brain that he expects you to use. But we should always be open to the direction and leading of God. So how do we recognize his voice? It says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. So I want to read a passage from John 10. You can turn there if you like. I'm going to read a longer section. In John 10, Jesus makes the statement that my sheep know my voice. Starting at verse 1 in John 10. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Do you hear God's voice, and is he leading you? And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So how are you going to know the voice of God? I think that comes back to being familiar with Scripture. That's how you're going to know when you're hearing God's voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. Think of this list over here. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and because he does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jumping down to verse 22. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. So this is right on the tail end of him saying, my sheep know my voice. The Jews say, you know, if you're the Christ, just say so. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. And I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So I think that's a really good lesson of what it looks like to hear God's voice. We as sheep should know his voice, and the Jews were asking Jesus, just tell us plainly that you're the Christ. But think of Gideon meeting the angel and still asking for proof after proof that this was the real thing. Sometimes just being told directly doesn't solve our problems. It takes some faith to be a follower of Christ. I also think that part of recognizing God's voice is remembering that he has a still small voice. This is something that in Scripture does give some other analogies for God's voice. There aren't all still small voices. But it does say in 1 Kings 19:11, then he said, go out and stand on the mountain. And by the way, the context for this is right after Elijah's dramatic victory against Baal, the Baal worshipers, where they poured the water on the altar. He was feeling a little discouraged. Excuse me. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? So, to hear God's voice, I believe that we need to spend time in quiet contemplation and meditation of his word. We can't just continually have noise and drama and activity and busyness and just stuff playing, drowning out our thinking, and expect to hear God's voice. Sometimes God's voice is a still small voice, and that requires contemplation and meditation. So I want to think just a little bit about some bad motives for seeking God's voice. In general, it's a good thing to ask for God's direction, to want him to direct us, but I also think that there can be some bad motives for seeking God. One, I've already touched on pretty heavily, but that is wanting a quick answer or a shortcut to meditating and applying the word of God. If we just live a busy, sort of almost godless life, even if we show up at church every Sunday, if your life is so full and so busy that you don't have any time to think about God and meditate on his word and read his scripture, and then you bump into a problem and you're suddenly pleading to God to speak to you and give you direction, that's not how it works. We need to have a relationship with him and know his word. And then when we bump into problems, he will be there. So asking for God's voice is not a shortcut to taking the time to meditate and know God's word. I think the other time that it's wrong to seek God's voice is if we're wishing for a blessing to do something that we already know is a bad idea. And when I say this, I'm not really meaning right versus wrong, good versus evil. There's some things that aren't really inherently wrong to do, but just kind of unwise to do. And maybe it's something you really actually kind of want to do, but you know it's not the greatest idea. But you think that somehow, if you could ask God to tell you to do it, then it would be okay to do, somehow enable you to do what you want to do. So we should not ask for God's voice just to bless something that we already have the ability to think through and understand is an unwise thing. I already mentioned this previously, but we should not ask for God's voice to escape personal responsibility. Blaming everything on either God or Satan can easily put you in a situation where you always feel like the innocent victim. God told me to do it and it didn't work out, so now I'm going to blame God and be bitter towards him. And I've actually met someone with that line of thinking, and it's not a good situation to be in, where all your faults you blame on the devil, everything, every decision you make that doesn't turn out, you say, you know, you thought God led you to do it, and just kind of escape all personal responsibility. I also think that we should not use God's voice to manipulate others. And this one can be touchy, because I think it is good to share with others how God is leading us and what we're hearing from him. But especially in a group context, it can be very, just kind of very manipulative to say that I was praying about XYZ and then state what the conclusion is. And that may just be your personal preference. Maybe, I don't know. I don't really have any real good examples. I should have a better example to give you. But I've seen this used, especially in a scenario where maybe it's like a group decision or something that affects multiple people and isn't just your personal thing. To say you prayed about it and you just have this feeling that we're replacing the carpet in church and it should be brown instead of gray or whatever, that's just a way of kind of getting your own way. Or maybe you say, I feel like the Lord is leading me to, and then state what the Lord is leading you to do. And once again, I think it's a good thing to be sensitive to leading the Lord, and I think we should share with our brothers how the Lord is leading us. But when you do that, make sure that you don't forget that one of the ways that God speaks to us is through our brothers and sisters in the church. Because if you say, the Lord is leading me to do X, Y, Z, and just make a blanket statement about what the Lord is leading you to do, you're sort of closing the door to anyone having input in your life or anyone speaking to you about that, because who's going to be the person that speaks against the voice of the Lord? So those are just some things to keep in mind. But I do think that we should all desire to hear God's voice and have his leading in our life, and we should learn to hear that still small voice that we have direction in our lives. I want to read just a few more testimonies. I was reading a discussion where some people were discussing this, and someone was sharing how they were just really troubled by how to sort through these different categories, and this was some responses they got. The one person said, open your Bible and start reading. We can know 100% that God is speaking to us. That still small voice we hear most of the time, that is our conscience. I spent a few years trying to hear God, trying to tune my life correctly so I could be more receptive to the Spirit. I can attest that I did hear very real things. I had very strong experiences, and those were what kept me coming back for more. But in the end, they took me deeper and deeper into sinful flesh, into my sinful flesh. They took my focus off the cross and fixed it inward. I gauged my standing before God on how much I heard and what I felt from him instead of looking to the cross to know where I stand. If I wasn't hearing from God, I thought I was doing something wrong or that God was mad at me. It ended in my despairing of my own salvation because the same feelings and words were not coming. It is popular today to believe that God has internal private conversations with us concerning where we should go, what we should buy, but we have much freedom as Christians to live our lives and make decisions. Whatever you do, wherever you go, be a light in this dark world. Live in the light of the forgiveness won for you. Look to your neighbor's needs and see how you can serve him. So that was one person's answer to this person that was struggling with this question. I thought there were some valuable things there. Haven't thought through the theology of everything they said. But this is another person's answer. The more time you spend with God, the easier it will be for you to distinguish and know God's voice. If I have a doubt, I remind myself that God is not a God of confusion. So if my thoughts are confusing or troubling, I know they are not from God. Another thing to remember, the devil is usually loud and in your face with an answer, and God is that still small voice. Sometimes God's answer takes quite a while before you hear. Be still and listen. And they reference Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. So I think God's voice is real. I think it can be heard. I think God does give us direction, and he's given us a lot of wonderful direction in Scripture, and we should apply that to our lives. It says in Hebrews 1, verse 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Remember the thing of elevating Jesus? He's spoken to us by his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things, from whom also he made the worlds. So, in Hebrews it's saying that in the past, God used prophets and all kinds of talking donkeys and whatever to communicate with people, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So, we all need to accept Jesus and have a relationship with him if we want to hear his voice. Because as Jesus said in John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So that's a precious promise from Jesus that he will lead us, and if we're his sheep, we will hear his voice. So my desire for each of you is that you would learn what it means to hear the voice of Jesus and to be his sheep, because he is a good shepherd. So may God bless you as you make your decisions in life and work through your problems and your pain points, because it's a real thing that we all deal with. And I think we should seek follow God's truth, whatever decision we're making. So God bless each of you.
Thanks for your inspiration. What voice am I listening to? It's made me think about the voice of God in my life. What voice am I listening to? Which way am I turning? Or is it just stuff in my head? God has given me a mind to think, and I try to follow God's will.